We can start over. Oh, okay. How long have you been involved in playing the piano?
Probably since I was a teenager. And I'll be 58 this month.
This month. So did you play it when you were, as you were growing up, or did you just kind of play around with it?
Actually, I didn't have a piano in my home that I grew up in my parents' home. But I just knew when I got around somebody's piano, if I went to visit somebody and they had a piano, everybody else would be in there doing other things and I'd be in there messing with the piano. It was always in my heart to do it. But I never took music. I never got to take any lessons. But it was just in my heart.
And like when you were a teenager, did you get a piano or did you get around one? Or
when I was like 16, a piano was given to me. It was an old upright and I loved it. And I just like to drive my mom and daddy nuts.
Well, they're proud of you now.
They're proud of me now.
But maybe not then.
But before I got that piano, I used to sit, this is so crazy, I used to sit at the dining room table and
play the table?
Like my piano. Yeah.
With your fingers?
With my fingers. I play the table. And that's why I knew in my heart there was something there. If I ever could get me a piano.
If you could ever get one.
Because you got to have one that you can play whenever you want to play, to learn.
Did you just start playing? Did it just start coming to you? Or?
Well, I would just sit there and I would try to hum a song. And I remember the first one I ever tried was Oh How I Love Jesus. And I'd sit there with my one finger and I was picking it out, and I'd finally find something that sounded right. And it's just a gift the Lord gave me, that's all I know. And I just didn't lay it aside. I just kept using it and pursuing it.
Where did you first start playing it?
I first started playing at Pine Grove Church. I grew up at Pine Grove Church, a country church. And out there, they had more piano players than you could shake a stick at. everybody could play, but they all played by music. They read. And here I was, the little girl. So every now and then, on prayer meeting night, maybe the piano player wouldn't show up. And it was like Mom and Daddy would always be there early. And I was hoping the piano player wouldn't show up so I could do something. And I would play and mess up. And they'd sing right on. Because they all could sing. It didn't matter if they had music or not. But, I think that was just a blessing within itself that they gave me opportunities.
Did you like sing when you played? Or did you strictly play when you...
I would sing and play.
Did you always sing?
I always sang and played, and I still sing and play.
You, like when you was young and you didn't have a piano, did you like sing around the house and stuff like that?
Sing around the house.
Did anything? That's what I was, playing by ear. A lot of people say they don't remember, it's like they pick it up and it just comes to them naturally.
You don't do it overnight, but if you have the gift of playing by ear, it gradually comes, and the more you try, the more you hear and the more you learn.
So now if you just heard a song, could you play it? Or would it take you a few minutes just to kind of feel it out a little bit?
I could pretty much play it. If it's something that I was interested in.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be interested.
I got to be interested in that, yeah.
You didn't really learn from... Did anybody help you out any?
I've never had anybody help me out.
You didn't have any, did you have any like influences, like people?
There was one special lady that went to church out there at Pine Grove. Mm-hmm. And you know her. Her name's Dorothy Guess. Miss Dorothy. And, she used to play for me. I sang in a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And she would play for us to sing. And she was always an inspiration to me, playing the piano. And she didn't sing, she just played. And she like tore it up, you know. She played all over that piano.
Never heard before.
She was a big influence.
Well, I know, like, somebody was telling me about, like, Carlene, her daddy. And said her grandpa taught, like, a lot of people around, you know, Miss Susie. Talking about, they said she taught everybody how to play the piano around, you know, a lot of people.
She did. Miss Susie Smith and Miss Fitzpiano.
See, I don't know Miss Susie
Smith. Oh, well, they're
wait, that's what
they're dead, yeah, they've been dead for years.
But they was just talking, you know, like how many people around here, you know, all, you know, play, but in those other people, you know, only those select people, like, you know, you know, yeah. Where she taught, because, like, Carlene, she plays there, and, you know.
Have you talked to Carlene?
Well, I talked, they gone to the mountains.
And they are back?
Mm-hmm. Her and Miss Paul.
Oh, they're back.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I came home yesterday.
He was just telling me, I was talking to him, he came up there, he's home away from home.
Yeah.
And I was saying, they gone to the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Then, does anybody else in your family play?
Nobody plays one thing. And my daddy comes from a family of 8 children. Nobody play on that side, and my mama's side, nobody. That's why we can't figure out why. And I guess I'm a, my grandmother had 29 grandchildren, and as far as I know, I'm the only one that plays by ear. Now some of them play.
Do they play any kind of other instrument? Anybody have a guitar or anything by ear?
No, I don't know if they do. Not any of them that I know of.
And none of them use it. What about like Tammy? Can Tammy play by ear?
Tammy?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tammy doesn't play.
She doesn't play?
She sings like a bird, but she doesn't play.
And Tammy can't?
Mm-hmm. Tammy, we gave Tammy, we was giving him guitar lessons, and he was doing real good. And the guy that was teaching him,
mm-hmm.
Freddie Landon, you wouldn't know him, but anyway, his job was moving him away to Atlanta. And that just made me sick because there was nobody around here to teach.
I said, that's what Nathan Bowser, he can kind of play by ear and let the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Jonathan Cook, you know, we all sit there and learn. And they could play a little bit together.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want them to sing. Now Nathan, he can do like the drums and anything. He can do that.
Now Timmy did the drums. And I grew.
I thought I remembered. That's what
yeah,
I was
thinking. Yeah, he did the
drums. Did anybody else in the group play by ear?
Everybody. In my group played by ear. Well, see, we just had guitars.
Mm-hmm.
A bass guitar and rhythm guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And the piano.
I mean, Mr. Lopes, he played by it, you know, just because he brought it out at the wedding rehearsal and how he fell under the table because he started singing for him, or singing to her at
he did.
At the rehearsal. And the preacher over there, he has a banjo out there. He can sing.
They are great.
He can, I've never
the
heard of
the preacher's family.
Mm-hmm. Really. Can they all play? I know the girl can
sing. I think
sing.
They all
can. Was Erica? Mm-hmm. She sang it out of case with it. She sang it now. Jackie, she did a little bit, and she's really good.
Mm-hmm. She has.
But I didn't know he brought up the banjo, and he was a picking that thing.
Where was this at?
At their wedding rehearsal at the booth. Mm-hmm. Was that the one earlier? The church. What kind of music have, I mean, have you always played like gospel music?
I've always played gospel. Yeah. I've always played gospel.
Nothing else?
Well, you know, on occasion, if you were somewhere,
like a good country song.
Good country, boogie woogies, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's, that would just be kicking around and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the serious side of me is
just like
traditional gospel.
Traditional gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was. He has a different gospel than I know, like at different churches, like churches like, they really get into it.
We can do that.
So y'all, I mean, what's like the typical audience? I mean, you know, like they're...
I think typical is traditional.
It's kind of like shallow, coming out
of
church.
It's just important. I mean, you wouldn't want to do everything traditional. all sound alike. Mm-hmm. You gotta have some flavor in there, and you do some spirituals or some real slow, you know, just whatever.
Well, I remember going with Granny, because she always go out there, Shiloh. You know, wherever y'all go, she yeah. can. Always
she liked it.
Always went. Yes, she had every one of the tapes. But I mean, so mainly, I mean, you get a lot of, I guess you'd say, like in the classroom, and everybody's yeah. singing with you and stuff like that. But that's what. How long did y'all do this? How long was the band? Are y'all still together or?
No, but we actually sing because we all go to the same church,
mm-hmm.
and we still sing together and play together as far as church,
mm-hmm.
but the traveling, we don't travel with our group anymore. You know, I organized that group in 1977, and we went 15 years full-time with it, little yeah. weekend
like over your
concerts. And, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what did it.
Yeah.
I mean,
because of my eyes. You know, I had to
get down, and it's hard to get back to.
Yeah. After we had to come off the road for those few months, I mean, I just couldn't do it. And then, it's just like, it was our ministry for so long. And then, it was like, well, maybe that was just the Lord's timing, you know, mm-hmm. that we was through for the road, but He still had something for us to do. So then I organized a choir at our church, and it's a praise and worship choir,
mm-hmm.
and we've been doing that now for 3 years. I live.
Is that like older people or all ages?
No, it's like younger people.
Younger people. Get to hang around with the young.
It's the younger people, and they love it. And as a matter of fact, we're having a choir party this Thursday night, a supper.
So you kind of feel like that was his calling, I mean,
it
to do that.
It is. It was like that one door was shut, but then another one was open.
You think you touched a lot of people? I mean, like, we're just laying.
Well, I know that it has.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But they've touched us, you yeah. know. It's just a two-way situation here.
Has anybody, like, with your piano playing or your singing, have you inspired anybody to play the piano or anything? Has anybody ever approached you about trying to teach them?
Many times.
And you just...
I don't teach. I can show them a few things, you know, if I know they have an ear for it, and I can show them a few helpful things that it took me years to run across. But there's just a few things that you can show people that really can is interested in playing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can show them, and it will help them and give them more places to go, more runs, they call it on the keyboard. But yes, I have had a lot of people, and I know two boys, and it just thrills my heart. They're young men now, they're both married with children, that have told me that I was the reason they started playing. And one boy, his name's Roger Mercer, and he can tear up a piano. But he used to sit for hours listening to our tapes,
mm-hmm.
and he said that he basically was listening to the music, because mm-hmm. that's what you do if you got an ear for it.
Is it, I mean, is it just hard? I'm like, Mama, she took because Granny made her,
yeah.
and she felt bad because Granny saved us a money and bought a really nice piano, and I felt guilty not to.
Yeah.
She said that the man that taught me, she said he played by ear and didn't read music, and he was trying to teach me how by reading music. She said, you know, it was just, she said he couldn't, it's like you would ask him something, he's like, I just can't tell you. It's just something that, you know, it's just something I do. He couldn't, she's like, well, how did you learn this? You know, how do I remember it? He's like, you just remember it. It's just something that comes.
And you cannot explain a gift.
Well, that's,
I mean, you know, it's just there. It's something that nobody can take away from you.
Well, she said, you know, he would sit there and he'd say, you know, my hands just go to the keys. I can't, I don't sit there and say, well, that's the, you know, I just know that's this key and this is that key.
But that don't come overnight either.
But, I mean, did it take you a while? Just it, playing and playing. Mm-hmm. Were you nervous when you
played?
Not giving up
is the main thing. Mm-hmm. Just
like when you played at church, were you nervous and stuff?
Oh yes, I sure was.
Did that ever?
Yep. Well, I don't think you ever get. Our group fronted for a lot of major groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing that I could play with any of them. It was just, you know, mm-hmm. and they're, but a lot of major groups don't read music.
They don't.
A lot of them play by ear.
Mm-hmm. I figured, especially like the New Orleans,
it's amazing that the people out there that, you know, just have an ear for it.
Well,
that makes a pretty good group too.
Does it?
Yeah.
You can work, just hear it and add something in. Mm-hmm. And so I think it needs this or I think it needs that.
But now don't get me wrong, I wish I could read music. And it's just a challenge for me to get all of the new song, you know, maybe that I've heard on the radio and finally get the music that I can look at, that I can't read it, but I can sit down and, you know, pick mm-hmm. it out and then give it to my choir. I love it.
So when you play, like when they sing, do you play? You play for them when they sing, mm-hmm. or do you listen to them to the music first? Or
right there at my piano, I sit there a lot because I have to learn it myself mm-hmm. and know it really good before I can give it to the choir or even give it to the other musicians. But that's the strangest thing. All of our guitar players and all. If I know it, I can play it for them one time, and the second time they got it. Damon Chancey. Mm-hmm. You know Damon. Mm-hmm. He plays the bass guitar really good. William Strickland, that played with me for mm-hmm. years. Gary Smith.
Okay, the older Gary that.
Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now he hasn't been playing very long, and I've helped him a lot. So I've tried, used to try to get him to come up there with us and play with us, and he said, "No, I'm not good enough." And I said, "Come on, Gary, we're going to help you." You know, mm-hmm. that's how you learn. When you play by ear, you learn by having jam sessions and stuff.
But see, that's like everybody that, you know, probably about once a month on someone, they'll have like, Fred Register playing the trombone and Abby, you know, and the only one I don't know about, all of them read music. I ain't sure about Mr. Watts.
Yeah, he reads.
Does it? Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he, mm-hmm. you know, he's the only one that I would, but I know all the rest of them because most of them are just a couple years older than me.
He reads.
Only the Danny, you know, so I know.
When he was, he would be a good one to interview. When he was young, he played in a lot of bands, big bands. He still plays with big bands. Mm-hmm. He's played with like, what is it, Bodie Chitty?
Mm-hmm. What was the ones that came not too long ago he played with them for cultural arts?
Did he play with them?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go?
No, they was talking about it. See, we were supposed, that's when I was working with Junior Board. It was like my senior year.
Uh-huh.
And I was supposed to go, and I got sick or something because we always had to go to the cultural arts. And I got sick or something. I can't remember. I didn't get to go. Mm-hmm. I've had to sit through all this other boring stuff. I at least want to go where I can dance and have a good time, and that's the one I got to miss. But I know that. He's able to play Mr. Barry and all of those people. Because they say he can play guitar.
He can play anything.
Can
piano, organ, guitar, mandolin, anything. Barry would be a good one.
See, I didn't know. I know that they said he used to have a rock band. I just can't see him so serious in a rock band.
Super.
Mm-hmm. I know they said that in the house. People that picked up off the same food for him and all that.
He has one out here.
Mm-hmm.
In the carriage house.
Mm-hmm.
Big sound, big studio upstairs.
I didn't know they were talking about how much he's doing in that studio. That is new house.
He had it out here too. Yep, because we went out there we jammed down out there.
Has like, do you have any kind of books or like the radio, have they influenced you a lot?
Just hearing music on the radio.
Hear a song you like.
Mm-hmm.
So Something you'd like to sing?
Something I'd like to sing, yeah.
Have you made any recordings?
Yes. Yes, we did. We,
how many different ones you have?
I went, actually myself, I went in the studio 12 times, 12 different recordings that we did. As far as the joyful sound, I did 2 by myself, 2 recordings by myself that my daddy wanted me to do, one of them. And then we went in as far as just musicians and did an instrumental tape.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Was it?
Yeah. Danny Ray said he used to listen to it.
Over here?
He'd have it in his car. He said, the first thing I know, I'd be flying. Y'all would be playing that music.
He said,
I'd be floorboarded.
Yeah, I've done seen Danny Ray drive. Yeah. He don't need no help flying.
No, that's the truth.
Passed me one day, I said. Because he was coming down this road right here, didn't even stop. I'm glad I stopped.
I think he has slowed down there.
Maybe. I ain't seen
him. His eyes aren't really good.
Well, I have seen him. I mean, I've seen him up there, but I haven't really seen him since. He moved. And, you know, when I left over there, I really did. Because I haven't seen him now.
I don't know how you're going to write an article on this jumbled up mess.
I'll be laughing when I'm listening to it.
Have you made any recording? If so, describe. Let me just describe that to you. That's the scariest I've ever been in my life.
Where'd y'all do it at?
Oh, gosh. We did them at different places. let's see. Where did we? We went to Moultrie. There's a studio down in Jacksonville. There was a studio in Alma. And I think it's still there. I can't remember. The guy that runs the funeral home also has a recording studio.
So it's like, you know, if you ain't no one good night, where he's going to take you.
This is the truth. One night, we was there to record, and he had 2 deaths in the funeral home, and it was after hours.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted us to go in there and help move. We had to change rooms with the bodies because that was going. We moved flowers all around while they changed rooms with the bodies. That was quite an experience. Don't put that in there.
When he went in, he definitely had a good time.
But anyway.
Like the dad did.
No, his sound room was soundproof, I reckon. We didn't wait nobody up. But that is, going in a studio is, you're so excited, you've been waiting and you've practiced because you know it's got to be right. You've got to keep doing it till you get it right. But getting in there, and it's just like when you see the red light go on, it says on. It's like every part of you wants to just freeze.
Did y'all do pretty good on the first try or?
No, we did awful. Oh golly. Well, we thought we did awful, but it just takes you a while, but they do give you some time to warm up and stuff. But all you're thinking about is all the money you pay. And I mean, you've practiced, now you got to get in here and pay good money to warm up. Because when the light comes on, the dollar marks start rolling.
They charge you for every time you do one? Like every song or?
Minute. You just.
You
just reserve the studio.
Oh, for so long.
This long or this long. It's, you know. We had like a package deal, and then we'd get to go back another time, and they would do the final mix down and get all the voices blended if they would blend. Sometimes they won't blend, but anyway, it was fun. It was really fun. We made it fun. But that first time just being in there, it was just like, what in this world?
Mr. Jimmy over there fanning you?
And I was about, I thought, I cannot play this piano. What in the world am I doing here?
Was it, I mean, was that, what was your probably your proudest you ever played?
The prep?
Like, I mean, the best. I mean, I just wanted to remember the most. I've just been playing for so long.
I've just been playing so long, but one that really stands out in my mind is one night. It was before Christmas. We played at the Mathis Auditorium, and they was having a benefit sing for a young girl. She was 15 years old, but had a real, real rare disease, and I can't remember the name of it. Crohn's disease. It was really, and the name of, they had advertised and advertised, and different corporations had just got involved in it. They had big banners in Valdosta, and it was called, they called this thing, To Brenda With Love. And it was so sweet, and they had went out and got sponsors and did programs, and anyway, we was on that program, and they was five groups, and we drew numbers to see, you know, spots, and we drew number five, and anyway, it was so good, and every little while they'd pass the, they was using Kentucky Fried Chicken canisters, they'd pass the hat, but people had just been going out and you know, soliciting money and stuff, but it was just real needy. But that was, to me, it was just the sweetest spirit. And we sang, when it come our time, we got, went on stage and sang. And then we ended the program with Because He Lives. And people marched across from out of the audience. They come across while we were singing and kept dropping money. And they had canisters up there on the stage. You know how the steps go, and people was just coming. I mean, it went forever. We sung Because He Lives, seemed like for 30 minutes while the people just come up there. That was very unplanned, and they said it was just the sweetest. It was wonderful. That's one of the highlights. But just to be able to play at church, or the main highlight is playing for my family to sing.
Can anybody else sing? I don't know. I know Tammy.
My daughter.
And Timmy can.
Timmy. Timmy can sing. Both of my children sing very well. And my husband.
Oh, we know.
My husband can sing. But and my son-in-law. Jerome.
I had never really seen.
He was with our group.
But I know Timmy said that. And he sung it with his wedding. He wasn't ever going to sing no more. He said, that was the last one. He said,
but it was pretty, wasn't it?
It was. Well, that's what I told him. I'm like, why don't you sing more often? And he said, I told her I'd sing at her wedding. He said, now I'm hanging up.
He did it.
I'm like, you wait till Jim comes along and says, will you sing for me? I said, you'll be right up there. But, I mean, does anybody else sing in your, like your mama?
They all sing. Mom and Dad sings, but nobody plays.
He didn't have anybody when he was talking about Miss Dorothy at church. But how would you describe your style of music? Just Southern gospel.
Southern gospel.
Traditional.
Southern. And I love to go to singing conventions or concerts, and that has really motivated me to want to keep on and keep on, and I still find things on there.
But you learn all the time.
Yeah, I run across things all along that all go together that I didn't realize. You know, it's just
I don't know if
you ever learn it all.
Has your style changed over time? Like what you began with?
Definitely. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, just from, because you're more relaxed or experienced?
Yeah, I'm very relaxed. I love it. I love it. And I hope it shows.
I mean, but mainly just because you're relaxed and experienced, or?
Yeah. Just time. Just a combination. Time.
Time. Time does a lot of stuff.
I've mellowed out quite a bit.
What do you think, like, some of the major characteristics of intuition? What do you think?
Feeling.
Feeling.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just having it in your heart.
I have it in my heart. Yeah. And that makes it come out. It comes out in my hands.
Well, I mean, I know. You know. Especially, I mean, I remember. Other than, you know, my. So is that, I mean, do you think, like, just that's the only one, or, like, do you think, like, gospel needs to have a piano with it, or?
Gospel definitely needs a piano.
Needs a piano?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only music I know that doesn't need a piano is bluegrass. Am I not a bluegrass?
I mean, but that's what it, you know, asking just like, what do you think? I mean, I consider gospel just something like you playing and singing the piano, just, you know, mm-hmm. one instrument, you know, mm-hmm. one person singing.
Yeah, it's just, you know, anything you add to it makes it pretty as far as music, but the piano can always carry the melody.
You think audience, you know, an audience that's real receptive, like when y'all play, you know, does that help it?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a, to
they
me?
They are.
I mean, that's me, when I used to go out there, you know, I know that, you know, you could sit there and listen to it, but after a while you had to get up and clap your hands, you know.
Right.
I mean, I consider that a characteristic of mm-hmm. you know, traditional gospel.
Yeah.
You know, getting up and singing, yeah. singing right along, even if you couldn't carry a tune
right.
in a bucket.
You can clap your hands.
You can clap your hands. That's me.
Yeah. I like that kind of much, clap your hands.
Like, what's some of your favorite, you know, your favorite songs or tunes?
It's hard to say a favorite song because he lives. I like them all. And when I'm put on the spot for a favorite song, I just like them all. As far as out of the hymnal,
mm-hmm.
Amazing Grace, you can never go wrong with that. But the old song, Where Could I Go But to the Lord, I love that. Of course, they use it a lot. Or used to years ago for a lucky invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I still like it. There's not many in the book that I don't like.
Have you learned anything new over the years?
Oh yeah, I'm still learning.
I mean, have you written any of your own music?
Yeah, I have. I've written a lot of songs, and I have copyright on quite a few.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And
On the ones you played on the tape, were some of them yours?
Some of them are mine.
Mm-hmm. And some of them two ones that y'all picked up?
Mm-hmm.
Has Mr. Jimmy wrote any?
No.
No?
No. He's never. I think one time he thought he would write a song or two because I'd find the papers where he had started and I would be, I'd pick it up and read it and I'm going, is this a prayer or is this a song? But he never finished anything.
No.
But I've written a few songs that maybe I would always keep a book of new material that I might be working on. And sometimes it might just be a line or two that comes to my mind and I'll jot it down. And I try to keep a, well, the, what you call it?
Microphone.
Microphone. I have a little tape player that I, if a tune comes to me, that I might just jot it down, try to keep it.
I will write poetry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll be like, it sounds really good right there, you know, and
yeah.
Every so often I'll throw them all together.
Yeah.
But it's like it'll run through your head and then later on, this is that sounded good.
Uh-huh.
I remember I was racking my brain trying to think of what I said.
But I wrote a song. It's when Damon and Teresa had their little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a song and sang it for Christmas.
About Grace.
About Grace. Yeah.
Was that the name of the song?
Grace.
Grace.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
that was real special. I think it was special to them, and it was to me, because I know the Lord just gave it to me, because I couldn't have done that on my own. Mm-hmm. But I wrote a song recently, and it kind of all come to me at one time. I haven't had that experience very often. Usually, it comes, lots. But this one, just, it was like I couldn't write it down fast enough. And the tune comes before the words, usually.
Good for me.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it in your head.
I hear it in my head.
And it just, and the words just kind of come along with it. Do you ever have a hard time having the right words, or not really?
Not really. I think mine's just mostly inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to write a song. It will just come to me.
I know people that say that, you know, their best songs come from when they're feeling it, whether it's, you know, whether they're upset or they're happy, you know, just whenever they get that inspiration.
Mm-hmm. My playing, and I've always, and everybody knows that knows me knows this, my piano has probably kept me from taking those pills, because I play when I'm happy, I play when I'm sad, I play when I'm excited. Just play.
We need to take one foot out there at the shop.
Yeah.
He's been a lot of nerves for the good, isn't she? Still been the good.
He does. He gives y'all nerves too.
No, you may have bad things.
Does Danny take that?
No, he doesn't. He says if he stays around me long enough, he's going to have to. My daddy.
Oh, you do?
Where all do you perform? I mean, I know at church and stuff, what you used to do out.
We used to do Georgia and Florida.
Where's the further?
We toured Georgia. The farthest south we went was,
oh my gosh,
Fort Pierce, Florida was the farthest, and I think that's the anyway, the fathers in Georgia we went was up around Atlanta, Stone Mountain. We did some churches up there. We had the opportunity to go to the Alabama, and we're different, South Carolina, North Carolina. We was invited, but we, with our weekend, because everybody worked, we was pretty limited as far as where we could go. But it was wonderful, and I kept a book with everywhere we had been and people we met. Yeah, I got a big scrapbook. Yeah, and just a dresser drawer full of
all kind of
memories.
And
yeah,
and you're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with them, but I can't bear to part with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when y'all went to other places and heard other people's things. You're talking about inconveniences. Did they? I mean, do you hear any other kind besides tradition, like maybe a little bit of bluegrass in here, a little bit of country? Do you get any of that in there? Or?
Oh, I can hear it, but I've never.
Y'all don't play it?
No, because we. Now, at one time, when we had our group, we had a mandolin player, and we did a little bluegrass, and it was fun.
Was it?
Yeah, it was
a little more up. I mean, like,
yeah, bluegrass is played totally different than southern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do it if I worked on it a little. I can do it. we had one of the mandolin player that we had. He's deceased now, but he used to play with the Stanley Brothers. Big
I think I
bluegrass.
I remember going, and I don't remember who. I'm trying to think.
He probably was with.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's been a while, but
he died at the supper table one night.
He had a contract. Because I remember, you know, just like when people come in and out, Granny, because I didn't know who Calvin's daddy was, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, when people come in and out, Granny, they come from, they all come.
They knew everybody.
Yeah, they come from their, you know, manor and all that. It seems like, because, you know, you get looking at things, you know, all we see is a guitar and a piano, and you see something unusual, you're like, what is, you know, what mm-hmm. is that? I mean, could you fit the piano in with the bluegrass?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
ordinary bluegrass groups don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not amplified. They're just.
Mm-hmm.
But we brought him into our group, which he fit great.
Could he play the air too?
Oh, yes. He could play anything. And we just used him, like, at special effects and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he could sing too. He had a good voice.
Do you play different tunes for different audiences, or you pretty much play the same all the time?
Yeah, I play the same. And I play for a lot of funerals and sing, you know, mm-hmm. for a lot of funerals. And I've never played for a wedding, and I get calls still. So just recently, people called me and want me to play for a wedding. I've never played for a wedding. I've never wanted to.
But did we play it for a wedding? Oh, she's playing.
Mm-hmm.
You play? Mm-hmm. Was she going to get you to, maybe she was going to ask you.
Well, she's trying to do, but I don't play for it. I never.
You did. You just don't want to do it. Afraid you mess up?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to mess up anyway.
That's right.
No, you know, like I said, I'm just in the Southern Gospel, and that's just my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I could learn the wedding songs,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just not
that
interested in doing it. And that would just take up my time, and I just don't want to waste my time trying to learn something that I'm just not interested in.
How much do you think you play a week? I mean, all the time. Do you just come in like right now?
Like right now? A lot of times I play before I go to work. Sometimes I come in the evening. I play every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Something. Is it just a habit, or is it just something kind of brighten up
your day? A good habit.
Just to brighten up your day or something?
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you. My dad is used to it. Husband. Well, they live in Miami. He's a doctor. Anyway, Uncle Orland has got a sister that's blind.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in West Virginia. Well, anyway, just a couple of months ago, my aunt from Miami called me, and she said, "I need you to do me a favor." I said, "What is it?" She says, "Orland's sister, Sue Carroll, they got a home in Maggie Valley,
mm-hmm.
and they had been in Maggie Valley, so they had got his sister, somebody brought her
mm-hmm.
to stay with her for a week." And she said, all the time she was with us, she just went around singing that song, "Right in the Corner Where You Are."
Mm-hmm.
And Sue Carroll, she used to be a professional singer. And she lost her eyesight. She hasn't always been blind. But anyway, Aunt Ann said, "I want you to do me a favor and play and sing that song, Right in the Corner Where You Are. Put it on tape for me, and I want to sing it to you." And me and Jimmy, after Freddie one Wednesday night, he hooked it up. He mic the piano, and we could sing it on the
He sang it with
me. Yeah, me and him sang it, and we sung it, not just one time. We would keep on singing it, you know, and made it a little bit lengthy, but it was that song the whole time. Anyway, we finished it. We had fun doing it, and I mailed it then, and she called me when she got it. Well, about a week or so after she got it, she called me. She says, "I'm so greedy. We haven't sent this tape to Carol yet." She says, "Me and Orland gets in the car." She says, "Our tape player's going up at in the house. She says, "We get in the car." She says, "We're like the teenagers.
We're
sitting around listening to Bright in the Corner Where You Are." I said, "When you get to the red light, do you turn it up real loud?"
Right around town, play the horn.
Yeah. She was laughing. She says, "But I've got it ready to mail." She says,
"I got it out of the tape player."
She says, "But I wish you had made us a copy."
Well, they just take that one. How many y'all stole a bunch of tape
players, didn't you? Yeah.
How many different tapes did y'all
We had 12.
12.
We had 12 people to play.
Y'all probably should have people ask.
And what you would do is, as you would make, we would have like five at one time, five different ones. But as we went along, making new ones, we would delete the others, you know, as they sold out. But we kept, because see, it took us 15 years to do that. I mean, we'd average about one a year, one new recording a year, because it was pretty expensive. And the thing, we sung all the time, and we sang basically churches, you know, and we did a lot of benefits, you know, that. And that was so special to, that was helping somebody. And, but we had our little tapes, and people would buy the tapes, and that would, like, buy, give us gas money to go to.
Well, probably, I figured y'all still had people asking.
We done real good. We, you know, just to be an amateur group.
Did y'all have a lot of opportunities around here, do you think?
We did, and we, and, like, we got to open a lot of concerts for, you know, major groups. Hey, we set, it was in Nashville, Georgia, when we had opened for two major groups. But anyway, they got $1,700 a piece, you know, those groups, and we got $50. I mean, for opening, but listen, the people loved us. I mean, because they knew us. A lot of those people knew us from going to their churches and things. We got as much or better reception than the major groups did.
It's because of all
those. Yeah, because they knew us. And you could tell those Singing Echoes was one of the major groups. Oh, the Primitive Quartet. Yeah. You can't beat them now, they're great.
But they didn't get as good a reception as y'all did.
It just seemed like everybody, I think they did it because they just all knew us.
Yeah.
You know, and was just making us feel real good.
I don't know though, when like when I go to East River over there and down off the river, I mean, they're all my friends as far as like personally.
Yeah.
We're all friends. You know, and when I go see them, yeah, but I listen to them all the time, and so I know. You know, I know the music.
Yeah,
I mean, right. I like that, you know, better than other people. You know, but it's because I'm familiar with it.
Right.
People I know.
Yeah. Well, it makes a difference. Now, I go here with these groups off every chance I get.
Do you?
And I love it. Yeah. The number one group right now, going, it's called the Crab Family. And I'm going to hear them this weekend. They'll be in my crowd. At the new high school.
Oh, no, I was just saying how much. But, do you think of anything that.
Without the audience, you need it. Hey, without the audience, there would be no place for us. I mean, really. You know, I always tried to sing. When I stood up front. You know, I played the keyboard, but I stood up and I faced the audience because I was such a part of the group. And it was just as fun. I tried to sing to the people on the back row.
You wanted to be heard.
No, I just wanted, I mean, I always felt so confident. Just looking around, you know.
Could you look people in the eye when you were singing?
Yes.
Yeah. I get messed up. Like if I get up on stage doing something, like I can look, but if I look you in the eye, I'm messed up.
You panic.
That's me. But.
No, I can look at my ears. But that comes with
experience too. Do you and Mr. Jr., like he was talking, y'all sit down? Do y'all sit down in here?
Every now and then, he'll come in here and we may sing a couple of songs.
Did he sing before y'all met?
No. I thought him to sing. When we first started singing, he couldn't carry a tune.
He can carry one in a bucket if it had a lid.
I kept saying, you can do it. You can do it now.
He's got a good foot.
He has. He's good.
He's got a strong foot.
He has. He would have made a good radio announcer.
Because mm-hmm.
he's got that.
He's got that dip. Deep voice. Mm-hmm. He's got, and he carries real, mm-hmm. he carries himself real well. I mean, as far as he was always real at ease. You know, you could tell.
Yes, he was. Yep.
He really was. Kit called him little old lady. He was a ladies' mm-hmm. man up there.
They liked him, didn't they?
They would. He could hear them all. Because he get around all the
yeah.
training. He's just one nice looking young man, oh. you know. He's probably embarrassing if you tell him that tonight.
But, oh, golly, he don't think he is. There's a big change from him, from work mechanic, and then, so he teaches the adult Sunday school class. And I was nudging him up there yesterday morning. I thought, now just to look at him, you would never dream he was a mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Because
he cleans up pretty good.
Yeah,
I know.
Turn around and look back. Yeah. Oh, well, I guess that's it. I'll let you sign this form and all.
Okay. But,